The strange story that Jesus tells, he's telling a lot of strange stories lately. The strange story that he tells about the dishonest steward has always puzzled me. Let's back up. Look at the story again. A steward is about to be fired for doing the mismanagement of a rich man's property. He knows he's going to get canned, and so he thinks to himself, I'm a proud man, I don't want to beg, and I'm a weak man, and I can't really work. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be out on my ear soon. What am I going to do? He comes to the conclusion, he's a shrewd man, he's a cunning man. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll get together all the people that owe my master any money or any goods, and I'll switch out their IOUs so they don't owe as much. Then they'll like me, and when I'm destitute, maybe they'll take me in, because my master is going to have nothing else to do with me. And Jesus, going on through the story, even says, and that master commended that dishonest steward for his resourcefulness. So at the end of that, I'm often scratching my head saying, so what's Jesus saying? If you're going to be bad, be really bad? That's what it seems like, isn't it? But that's not what he's saying. There's a little phrase in the gospel today that kind of gives away what he's getting at. He says, the children of this generation are more prudent in dealing with one another than are the children of light. They're more prudent than are the children of light in worldly matters. And then at the conclusion of the gospel, he says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, oftentimes, mammon is just simply equated to money, right? But what does money represent? I mean, mammon, the sense of mammon is more than just, you know, cash in bank. It's a whole concept of life. What does money represent for us? But, you know, time, security, comfort, you know, all kinds of access to worldly means. That's what money represents to us. In and of itself, of course, it's useless. It's what it can get for us in worldly terms that we are interested in. So Jesus is saying, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve both purely worldly interests and God. Your feet must stand on one or the other of those two foundations. And Jesus is saying, the children of this generation are more prudent in these matters than the children of light are often in theirs. What he's saying is, left to ourselves, we are almost always going to gravitate toward the worldly comfort option in life. We're very good, I think, at planning and scheming and figuring out how we're going to get this thing to line up in our life or that thing to line up in our life. We're very good at those things and worrying about those things and designing that. And, you know, and that's necessary. You know, we can't just kind of like stumble around through life and say, oh, you know, God will take care of it. We do have to make decisions about those things. But is that our focus? And I'm saying our nature, yours, mine, all of us, our nature is to gravitate toward those worldly concerns first. But Jesus is encouraging us not to be like this dishonest steward, but rather be concerned first and foremost with the things of the heavenly realm. Who am I? Who do I belong to? Who do I belong to? Well, by baptism, we belong to Jesus Christ and to the Trinity and to the heavenly society. And in our lives, though, in gravitating toward mammon, we turn away and walk away from that. We walk away from that fellowship with the saints and that union with the Trinity that we received in baptism. We sin. So, are we very often like the dishonest steward who makes all these worldly plans and tries to ensure comfort and security here? Or rather, as Jesus says, you know, are we willing to set aside that, he uses the term dishonest wealth, I would say, you know, limited worldly wealth, in favor of that which is of heaven? True wealth, he calls it. True wealth. Fellowship with God and the saints. So let's ask the Lord for the grace not to be the dishonest steward in that sense. And again, in our lives, we tend to gravitate toward that, all of us. We tend to be the dishonest steward, putting ourselves first. You know, that steward was not concerned with the master or his property. He really wasn't even concerned about the people that he was working with, the debtors that he was working with. He wasn't concerned about necessarily, first and foremost, giving them some relief from their debt. He was concerned about what's going to happen to my rear end. What's going to happen to me? That's not how goodness proliferates through the world. There's a saying by St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who founded Opus Dei, a wonderful movement in the church. He says, do not be angry about the way the world is. Do not complain. Do not complain about how the world is coming apart at the seams, seemingly. He says, rather, flood away the evil of the world with an abundance of good. Flood away the evil of the world with an abundance of good. Folks, goodness comes from God. Goodness comes from God. And goodness can come out of us only if God is in us and we are standing on his foundation. Flood away the evil of the world with an abundance of good. So we can always ask ourselves, am I doing good? If I am seeking first and foremost my own interest, likelihood is, if we're doing any good at all, it is very limited. If we are seeking first and foremost the kingdom of God, then we will be flooding away evil with an abundance of good. Let us stand and profess our faith.